From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Later on tonight, those Friday night into Saturday morning open lines, here's what's happening. A powerful winter storm, and I'm right in the middle of it, which is being dubbed the Winter Storm Gaia by the Weather Channel, is expected to wallop parts of the U.S. this weekend with more snow and ice. Snow is expected to travel along a narrow 1,500-mile-long path that stretches from the Midwest to the East Coast, impacting millions of people. Hundreds of flights from St. Louis have already been canceled. I'm supposed to head for the Denver area to do our Beyond Belief shows this weekend. Hope I can get out of here. America will fall to number 3, they say, on the list of the world's largest economies behind China and India. China will overtake the United States, they predict, as the world's largest economy in a decade's time, while India will assume second place. Wow. Well, the partial government shutdown was on track Friday to become the longest closure in U.S. history as President Donald Trump and nervous Republicans scrambled to find a way out of the mess. A solution couldn't come soon enough for the federal workers who got pay statements, but they didn't get any pay today. Ripples from the partial government shutdown are spreading online as well, as some federal websites become insecure or inaccessible because of expired security certificates as well. Let's wrap up the week with Dr. John Curtis, onlinecolumnist.com. It continues, John.
What a mess.
Yes, sir.
What a mess. And I think that it's a growing frustration with both parties right now, knowing that, you know, I mean, this is tossing 800,000 workers, people that, you know, work for a living, pay their bills, and now are not getting their paychecks under the bus. That's what they're doing. And I think that there has been no good faith negotiation whatsoever. I really believe that Pelosi and Schumer think that there's going to be some kind of blockbuster report in a week or two when Mueller completes his final report to Congress. But, you know, I think, George, realistically, Mueller is under no obligation to produce this kind of, tabloid report
right.
for the media. And it's very likely that his report will be confined essentially to indictments that he's made, and that the public will really not get anything more from this. So why Pelosi and Schumer are not negotiating for a few billion dollars to reopen the government? And Jared Kushner, you know, the senior advisor of Trump, has already offered, with Trump's blessing, the Dreamers or the DACA to make that permanent and legal for them, so that they can stay in the country. So the trappings of a grand bargain, a big deal, are already in the works, and yet there's no movement on this. So I think the pressure right now is really mounting on Pelosi and Schumer to stop the politicking on this. The border wall is universally desired, wanted, and demanded by the Border Security Patrol, by ICE, and by local law enforcement. And I don't know if you got that report of Jim Acosta from CNN on the border in McAllen saying that, well, you know, nothing seems like an emergency here. And guess what? He was looking through the slats, the steel slats of the border wall. Yelled, yes, the border wall works. And this idea that somehow they're going to be using high-tech drones in order to keep people from, you know, jumping over fences or going through tunnels is preposterous. Of course a wall or a fence is necessary along the border to stop this kind of illegal trafficking into the country. And with fentanyl killing a large majority of, a substantially growing majority of Americans coming from Mexico and other illicit drugs, not to mention human trafficking and the like, I mean, you would think that a couple billion dollars to end this would basically be, you know, would be something that they would readily do. And yet, you know, they're still playing this game of chicken.
Well, they are. Let's see what happens in the next day or two. But this has gone a little too long. Thank you. Dr. John Curtis, onlinecolumnist.com. China is detaining people for posting on Twitter in an escalation of its mission to silence internet users. They are literally going after people, detaining them, interrogating them, and who knows what. Well, if I offered you a superfood that would make you live longer, would you be interested? Naturally, it reduces the chance of debilitating heart attacks and strokes, as well as lifelong diseases such as type 2 diabetes. It helps keep your weight and blood pressure and cholesterol down as well. And it's cheap. It's widely available in supermarkets. What is it? It's simply fiber. So take as much as you think you can. Portions of an overcast sky in southeast Brazil are painted with tiny black dots that are falling on people. What are they? They're little black spiders. Yuck. What else is in the skies? Let's check in with Peter Davenport from the National UFO Reporting Center. Hey, Peter, I hope it's better than spiders, huh?
I was going to say, George, I hope we don't have any spider reports in my area. I'm not wild about them.
No.
I'm getting excited about seeing you in Everett.
It's coming up, couple months now.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah. I've got some special ideas. I'm going to bounce off Tom and see if he approves. I think it could be pretty interesting for our audience. So I'm getting excited.
Super.
First report comes from Lothian, Maryland, George. It's just about 20 or 25 miles east of downtown Washington, D.C. This is probably the first report from this year we received. It's very interesting. It involves a fireball and a massive explosion. Again, just 20 or so miles east of Washington, D.C. Woman writes that it shook, by her count, at least 25 houses, knocked things off shelves. Have no idea what it was. I just checked the American Meteor Society website. They have no listing for a meteor for that time and location, so have no idea what it was. Second report comes from Talbotton, Georgia. This is from the 5th of January, last Saturday night, 8:30. Father and his 15-year-old son were at their traditional hunting camp. They were rained out of their tent, so they got in the back of their pickup. They're lying there looking at the night sky, and they become aware of a very peculiar light in the night sky that doesn't look normal to them. Not a planet, not a twinkling star. And it got closer, and it started going left and right and up and down. Next morning, they woke up about 4 hours after they were supposed to have been on a hunting stand. Don't know what happened there, George. Third report comes from, this is the doozy of the lot, I think, Hurricane West Virginia. Gentleman was out walking his dogs when his attention was drawn to the southern sky. He saw a green fireball coming from the south. It was clearly above broken clouds, which were at 2,300 feet. He checked with the National Weather Service. It went from the southern horizon to over the northern horizon and gone from sight in probably, he estimates, between 30 and 60 seconds. Very unusual sighting, and he was shaken by it. His wife saw it as well. We're trying to get her to submit a report to accompany her husband's. Next report comes from Burlington, North Carolina. Gentleman noticed this is another report about a green stationary light. Guy saw a green light as he was driving to work at 6:36 in the morning. The object just dropped precipitously straight down.
Jeez.
Disappeared from his sight. Then it came back up and streaked off in the morning sky. Have no idea what it was, but it sounds very peculiar. Next report comes, and this is my last one, comes from Bozeman, Montana. This is just last night, 10:40 p.m. on the 10th of January. Two sisters were out in their driveway, and they noticed lights moving from west to east over Belgrade, Montana. They determined that it was not an aircraft. The lighting wasn't correct, and the space between two clusters of lights was blocked out when it passed over the stars. It blocked out the stars as it passed over them. So what it was, have no idea, but it was clearly real according to these witnesses, and very bizarre in appearance. So that's my report, and we should have all of these reports posted to the UFO Center hotline sometime tomorrow.
Super, Peter. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks for the reports. Next up, know the name, know the person. Sharon Lynn Wyeth joins us, and we're going to be talking about your name. And welcome back to our Friday night into Saturday morning program. George Norrie with you. Our international name expert, Sharon Lynn Wyeth, is the founder and creator of the Nemology Science. Now, that's a study of the placement of the letters in a name, and she has evaluated thousands of names since 1995. She's hired by human resource departments all over the country in choosing appropriate candidates to interview, lawyers in how to present cases to judges, individuals who wish to know themselves better and maximize their ability to connect with others. She also assists nationally and internationally in naming new businesses, new products, and when people simply want to change their names at all. And this is a fascinating field you're in.
I love this, Phil. George, it's so nice to meet you. Did you know that an article came out, a result from a university this week, that suggests that our names even tend to tell us what we look like? Now, my research shows how our names indicate our personality traits and what our soul would like for us to learn. But now research is indicating that even our appearance can be linked to our name.
That's interesting. Now, what makes the personality, the person or the name?
It's actually the name sets it all out. And then the person gets to do it. So why does it work, right?
Exactly. Finn, we'll get into that. How did you get involved in this?
Well, according to my mother, it started when I was very young. As my very first sentence when you got, you know, when I started talking with a full sentence was, you got my name wrong. So the intuitive part of me immediately understood the importance of names. And Nemology Science really started being developed when I was 26. And I was starting my seventh year of teaching, and when I was creating the seating chart that I would use on the first day of school. Now, normally, we teachers would just put the names down randomly, yet my intuition, together with my brain, were saying, you know, don't put Joshua next to Julie, because together they're going to be clowns, but separated they're going to be okay. Now, Stephanie's going to be so stubborn, put her over there where I don't have to change her seat, and Derek's going to need extra help, so put him in the front row. Now, this is how I think when I know my students, but I only have their names. So my brain, which is thoroughly trained in patterns since I'm a math major in college and I have my master's degree, anyway, must have seen some sort of patterning in the names. And this, when I coupled it with my highly developed gift of intuition, was giving me an impression of each student from their name. So when I realized what I was thinking, the same as if I already knew the kids, I decided to write down my impressions of every student, and I would put it away till winter break because I really wanted to get to know the kids for who they were. So when I read my notes during winter break, I was astonished at how accurate they were. Now, immediately, I could see the benefits of being able to know who someone was simply by their name. I mean, George, your name indicates that you never meet a stranger, but here was a way that the rest of us could feel the same way. So I would know how to group my students from day one and mm-hmm. what they would need to learn in math. So I was motivated to figure the system out. So the big challenge was, how do you make what's going on unconsciously conscious? Now, at that time, there was a plethora of Davids in my life. You know, David Johnson, David Shippick, David Landis.
Right.
I could just keep going.
And would you say, too, that all Davids would be the same?
Well, that's what my thought was. So I made a chart with all these Davids, and I started listing all my observations of each one. And then I looked for the commonalities, because they weren't all the same. And so from the things they had in common, I thought, okay, got to come from the name David. But the things that they didn't have in common, I thought, okay, it's got to come from the middle name or the last name. So it took me 15 years to figure out all the patterns, and if I hadn't been receiving guidance during my daily meditations, it probably would have taken me a lot longer. But what I came up with was that the first name is the essence of who we are. The middle name is where we go when we're under stress. And the last name represents our environmental influence. So we get both nature and nurture. So I went and tested my theories after I developed them in over 70 countries, talking to over 100 people in each country, like in India, Germany, and China that you were just talking about in the news. So over 7,000 people, you know, gave me feedback. and it became apparent to me that everybody wanted to learn more, which is what inspired a math major to write a book.
That's just I just love it. It's just fascinating. As a parent, you actually can help pick the personality of your child by naming them a certain name, can't you?
Yes, you can. Now, the big thing is why does it work? You know, everybody says, why does it work?
Why does it work? That's a great question.
Okay, so there's two different reasons why it works. Okay, first is there's a religious reason. And Dr. Eugene Whitworth said that there were seven religions on the planet at one time. They all agreed on some major things. And one of the things they agreed upon was that the incoming soul impresses upon the parent what we want to be called. So we name ourselves. Now, if I'm looking at the science aspect of it, there's two sciences out there. One is somatics, and the other one is Sherry Edwards Bioacoustic. And she got, like, Scientist of the Year in 2001, I think it was, for her work. And what they realized was that our cells literally can change with different sounds. And what sound do we identify with the most? I mean, if I say, who are you? You answer with your name as if that says it all.
Yeah.
And it does if you know nameology science.
Now, what about your middle name? I like to use the initial R instead of my middle name, which is Ralph, by the way. I've always just liked the middle initial. What does that tell you?
The middle initial tells me that, first of all, the middle name, if you believe in reincarnation, we can read it, that gives us the information for your most previous past life and what you've accomplished learning and what you're still carrying over. But that R, using it, is advertising to everybody, I have really good discernment, and I like the truth, and don't lie to me, because once you lie to me, I don't want you in my life.
Sure, and I think in 16-plus years of doing this show, I don't recall one Ralph calling the show. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, that is. But, you know, names go in cycles. I have articles on my website that analyze what are we expecting now as a society based on what kind of names are most popular during the birth year.
Interesting. Now, the science that you use is called nemology?
I wanted to name it nameology, but you can't trademark the word name because it's a common word. So my dad came up with the idea of writing it as N-E-I-M, which is the word for name in Latin. So it's the name for name in Latin, nameology science.
Now, when people are picking names for children or changing their names, I guess you can do that legally now, right?
Yes, you can.
How do they ascertain the name to pick for the child? I mean, I've named my kids Christina with a K, Wendy, Jonathan, but I never thought of their personality as a baby based on their name. I would do it now.
Well, and it makes a difference. But, you know, a lot of parents will call me and say, help me pick out a name. I want a kid that's going to be like this. And I say, you know, how about letting the soul that's coming to you pick out its own name? You'll get it. And once you've gotten the name that you want for your child, then call me and I'll help you spell it so that all the lessons are easier.
Like, how many people call you Sharon before they realize your name is Sharon?
Well, a lot of people do, but I always correct them. And the best part of that, George, is that when the telemarketers call and they ask for Sharon, I tell them there's nobody here by that name. You've got the wrong number.
That's funny. Now, what would happen to your personality, because your name is spelled S-H-A-R-O-N, as many would call Sharon, but what happens if your name were spelled S-H-A-R-O-N-E? Would you have a different personality?
It would shift it some. Okay, because my name ends in an N, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And all names that end in an N mean that we have incredible memories. And we can drive people nuts with the nuances of all the details. You know, we can drive them nuts with those details. And so when you stick an E on the end, it clips some of my memory. I wouldn't have as strong of a memory. And like your name, George, that ends in an E, it would make me have a very generous heart.
Interesting.
Where I would give away a lot of my time, and then at the end of the day, I'm running out of time.
All right, well, stay with us. We're going to come back and talk more about your work. Know the name, know the person. She also has another book called Know the Name, Know How to Connect. And then later on next hour, we'll take your phone calls. Perhaps Sharon will talk with you about your name and tell you who your personality is. So we've got that and much more coming up in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. In a moment, we'll be going back to Sharon Lynn Wyatt as we talk about her work. Know the name, know the person. Next hour, we'll take your phone calls with her, and we'll talk about your name. And what I will need will be your first name, a middle initial, and the first letter of your last name, okay? We don't need to take your entire last name. That could make it a little more accurate, but I don't want that on the air tonight. So we'll just take your first initial of your last name as well. So our two live events are coming up pretty quickly these days now that we're into 2019. First of all, Everett, Washington, beautiful theater, the historic Everett Theater. It's a big one. Saturday, March 23rd is that event. So you get your tickets while they're still there. Peter Davenport, as you heard on the National UFO Reporting Center, will be one of our live guests at the show. Plus, we'll have audience participation. You'll get a chance to ask the guest a question or two. And we'll do a meet and greet after the event, live band. It's just a fun show. You can get your tickets by going to events at coasttocoastam.com or in the highlight reel where Sean and Lex have it revolving. You can also call this number at the Everett Theater, 425-258-6766. That's 425-258-6766. Then, of course, May 11th, the day before Mother's Day, in Columbus, Ohio, at the Lincoln Theater, our live event there with one of the special guests, Stanton Friedman, the father of ufology. Again, get tickets at events or the highlight reel at coasttocoastam.com or call their ticket center at the Lincoln Theater, which is 614-469-0939, 614-469-0939. And as you all know by now, Tim Banal is our news editor, the Coast to Coast AM website, and also download our free apps in the App Store on Coast to Coast. You'll love it. It just gives you all kinds of information. But Tim puts together the incredible stories that you read on the website, and here he is with his weekly report. Hi, Tim. What do you have for us this week?
How you doing, George? Happy New Year. Great to talk to you.
You too, my friend.
Had some awesome holidays. Well, since it is the new year, first I wanted to mention we're starting something cool this week that I think folks will like. I noticed when I sit down and do the news, oftentimes after I finish listening to last night's Coast, I dig into the archive and pick out an old show that I've enjoyed. And I said to myself, let's celebrate Coast to Coast this year and do something called This Day in Coast History. So every morning, Monday through Friday, when folks go to the website, they'll see a highlighted classic show from this day in Coast history.
Perfect.
Yeah, like I said, Monday through Friday. And the cool part is these aren't automated. They're handpicked by me. I've gone through and chosen sort of, they're curated. So that's kind of fun, I think. I think people really enjoy that. So check that out in the mornings at the Coast website.
Excellent.
We got two stories for you this week, George. The first one is really captured the imagination of the website visitors. It is a possible photo of the Tasmanian tiger.
Ooh.
For folks, yeah, I know. I was excited when I saw it, too. I was really excited. For folks who don't know, the Tasmanian tiger, also known as the thylacine, is this canine-like creature that lived in Australia and Tasmania, but it was declared extinct decades ago. Nonetheless, people to this day believe they have seen it, and it kind of had a renaissance in the last couple of years. With a lot of photos and videos popping up online, and this week was the latest piece of evidence. And it's in the number one slot on the website. It's pretty compelling. I think folks should go check it out. I'm not sure. There's sort of three schools of thought here on what it might be, and I sort of lurk in the Tasmanian tiger forums to see what people thought about the picture. It's either a Tasmanian tiger, a thylacine, or a fox with mange, or a Photoshop. Those are sort of the three schools of thought. But get on over to the website, folks, and check that out in the one spot and decide for yourself. The number two story really captivated me. I found it fascinating. This is about a Canadian man named Dana Negri. He lived in Calgary. Back in 2008, he started hearing this odd humming sound, which he likened to a locomotive diesel engine idling in the distance. And it really kind of, really got under his skin. And luckily, other people in the community heard it, too. So it became kind of a cause for the next year or so.
Probably drilled them all nuts, didn't it?
That's exactly what happened. And the media picked up on it, and it was called the Richmond Hum. And they were trying to figure it out, and they really never got to the bottom of it. But the story got weirder for Dana Negri, because then he moved away from Calgary. He moved about 200 miles away to the city of Edmonton, thinking, you know, that this was behind him. He didn't leave because of the hum, but it was just a lucky break, right? So he arrives at his new home in Edmonton, he gets settled in, and he hears the hum again. And at this point, you're kind of wondering, is this something, maybe it's internal, maybe he has like tinnitus or a similar condition, and
right.
But no, he enlisted an audio engineer, and he has these sounds recorded. So he's not imagining them. It's not an internal thing. He's actually hearing these sounds, and we have no idea why, in such a vast distance, he is hearing the sounds. And he's been on the quest to try and get to the bottom of this and in search of silence ever since.
I love it. Great stories. Keep it up, Tim.
Thanks a lot, George.
Tim Bedall, our editor of CoastToCoastAM.com. And again, download the free apps in your app store. Just put in Coast to Coast AM, and it will pop up. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, along with Sharon Lynn Wyeth, as we talk about her work with names, her books, of course. One of them is called Know the Name, Know the Person. We'll take your calls next hour, and I'll need your name, your first name, a middle initial, or your middle name, and then the letter of your last name. She'll tell you a little bit about yourself. A lot of women, Sharon, when they get married, like to keep their maiden name, not their married name. And what does that do to them and their name and their personality?
Well, if they change their last name, what it's saying is that they're changing the people that they're listening to or who have most influence with them, because the last name always represents our environment. So if you keep your last name, you're saying, hey, everything was hunky-dory, and I want everything to stay the same. I want to keep attracting the same type of people I was before. And if you take on the new last name, you're saying, I'm willing to make a change, and now let's see if I'm attracting people that are like this and what their influence on me will be.
Should the husband last
name always recommend, you know, always is the influence.
Should the husband get upset if she decides she wants to keep her maiden name?
I don't think so. And a lot of people call me and say, what would my life be like if I have my last name or I take his? And one of the things I always look for, I just give information because that's my job, but one of the things I always look for is, if you take on his last name, will it create violence in the relationship later? Because
really?
That would show up.
Really?
Yes. So what causes that is all of a sudden if somebody gets three L's going all the way through their name. And so you want to make sure that you don't have the three L's all the way through the name if you haven't already had that.
You mean with the combination of the first name, initial, last name?
The full name, the first, middle, and last.
So if you have three L's in that, it could be a problem.
It could be a problem because you're introducing something that you're not used to.
How does that work, though? How do letters categorize personalities, for example?
Well, all letters carry a vibration, and it's that vibration that I have simply matched the vibration to the action, just like different vibrations make different sounds in music. And so they also represent different actions. So like the first letter and the first name is the first impression we get of someone. Like the G in your name, George, tells us you're all about changing people's perceptions. And then the last letter in a name gives us the lasting impression of a person. And the first thing we all talk about behind people's backs. So yours being the E, like I said before, is the generosity of time. Okay? And then the overall name indicates the person's personality, ethics, preferences, learning styles, types of gifts they like to receive. I mean, there's so much in a name. It even says what you like in the bedroom. So in other words, from the bedroom to the board names, our names are influencing us because of the vibration of the name.
With my last name ending in a Y, is that unusual?
No. In fact, if you look at the common names for 2018, like the girls and the boys and everything, you will find that the majority of names end in A's and Y's. And so with yours being in the last name, it's saying you want to bring people to you that are highly likable. Because any name that ends in a Y says this person is one of the easiest people to like.
Interesting. What about nicknames? Sometimes people, you know, like their names as a nickname as opposed to their real name?
Well, when we change our first name, we're changing how we go about completing our contract or our blueprint. Now, if somebody else changes our first name to a nickname, that's different because they're saying that that's how they wish to see us. Now, if we change our last name, we're changing who we let influence us.
If you had a couple that came to you and they wanted to get married, and, you know, one name was X and Y, would you tell them if it's going to work or not? What do you say?
I literally say to them, I go, this is where the potential conflicts are. But the coolest thing in the name is this is your solutions.
So you can't fix it.
That hard or not.
Yeah, you can't point it out and you can't fix it. Now, you must have created an incredible database in order to do this.
Yes, I did. I was doing the charts, like the first one I did was a David, and I would do at least one chart a day, but most of the time I did more from observation because I'd been exposed to so many people. And so if you think about it, it took me 15 years, and let's say for 300 days I did at least one chart. Well, that's over 4,200 charts that I did. So the answer is yes. I had a huge database. And then every time I met somebody, I was saying, talk to me about your personality, and then trying to identify what letters it was coming from. And then I got to the point where I'd say, well, do you know anybody that has this combination in their name? Talk to me about them. And so, I mean, no one was safe around me. I was inquisitive and asking everybody stuff.
Did some people shy away from you and run?
Well, you'd think they'd want to, but more people were more interested in what are you doing? What have you found out? And then I'd say, well, so far, your name's telling me this.
So if you had like six Marys come up to you, as you were talking about Davids, and let's say you didn't analyze their middle initial or their last name, but just their first names, six Marys, would you say that there's a lot of similarities with those six people?
The answer would be yes. Think of it, George, as if the first name is all the ingredients in your kitchen, and the last name says what recipes you're going to use with those ingredients. So all the Marys start with the same ingredients, but which ones are they going to pull out, and which ones do they want to show?
Are there some names that are a little more pleasant to the person's personality as opposed to other names? My point is, can somebody be called something and he turns out to be, you know, some horrendous guy or, you know, cutthroat or something like that, and then somebody else is nice and docile and sweet?
The answer is yes, because the last name makes a huge influence. I mean, if you took the same first name and you put them in a very mean or a very harmful environment, they're going to turn out differently because they're probably going to be using the challenges in their first name, whereas you put somebody in a loving environment, they're probably going to be using the gifts that are apparent in their first name, even though they all start with the same ingredients.
If you looked at the name like Dick Cheney, of course, our former vice president from a few years back, who I think was really the steering point to get us into Iraq, what would you know about his name?
Right away that he thinks very fast on his feet and that he can talk his way out of anything, that he does everything the hard way, and he pulls to him people that want to rescue, and so he wants to take advantage of other people's goodwill, and that he is worldly. He wants to involve himself in the entire world, and that he's very organized, and he's a control person.
Can anybody
surround himself with controllers?
Can anybody have a bad name, Cheryl?
Oh, I wish that people didn't. Unfortunately, yes. We all have gifts in our names. We all have challenges.
What are some of the bad first names?
Well, like Heather is a very challenging name. Herbert is a very challenging name. There was this group. I was up doing a fundraiser with students up in Washington State, and they all came up and paid $5 and gave me their index card with their name on it. And there was this one child whose name I looked at it, and all I could see was a negative. I was trying so hard to see something positive. And it literally said in his card that he forces his personal wants and physical desires on the people he's with.
He's like an energy vampire.
Well, he's more like a date raper.
Oh, God.
And it was like, okay, I'm in this group of people. How do I say to him, hey, you're a date raper? So I did his name last with his group. And what I said was, I said, you know, you really think touch is important. And, of course, the five boys all around him all started laughing and saying, boy, she's got you. And I said, you know, if your big lesson in your name is to think about how your actions will affect somebody else before you go forward with your actions, and if you can master that, you might stay out of jail. Okay, next group.
Yeah, quickly.
Yes.
You know, so when a company hires you, what do they hire you to do?
They give me the job description, and they give me the list of names, and I go through and I say, are they going to be a team player? Are they honest? Do they have the qualities in their name so that they could be doing this job? Will they get along with the other people that are there? You know, will they take direction? Will they learn? All of those things. And I was tested by a huge corporation in Australia for 6 months. And every Monday, they would get on the phone and say, here's the job description, here's the names, who's your number one, who's your number two? And we would go through that. And they never gave me any feedback. And at the 4.5 month mark, they said, okay, here it is, the same. And I said, here's my number one and here's my number two. And the man said, for 4.5 months now, my team has interviewed everybody, read the resumes, called the references, and suggested a number one and two. And for 4.5 months, you have hit it on the head every single time within 15 or 20 minutes. And he said, but this time, our number one and two is your number two and one and why. And so I told him what my thinking was. And he said, we wouldn't figure that out for 6 months to a year, and nobody would tell us that when we call for references, we're going with yours. And just a year and 2 months ago, he asked me about somebody, and I said, you're thinking about going into business with him, but he's going to skim money off the top. I don't trust him. I would avoid this if you could. And he says, no, I need that company. So a year later, when I was over there giving a keynote talk, he said, he announced to everybody during the intro, he says, you know, she told us a year ago and we thought we could handle it. And the man has skimmed $600,000 off the top.
He embezzled them.
And then he said to me, how do I get out of this contract?
It's easy. You fire the guy send him to prison or something.
So the end of the story is it's a good story. Everything worked out and the man ended up buying the other man's company. So he's totally out. But you know, it's just, if you can see those things ahead of time, why would you put yourself in that situation unless you absolutely needed that, and then you'd know what to watch for?
Well, and how many people face-to-face believe in this system of mnemology?
Most people don't until I start talking to them about themselves.
Uh-huh. Okay, and then you convince them.
Okay, I'm a believer. Now, if somebody's already doing astrology, you know, numerology, one of those, they already know that we can't explain everything and why it works. And the beauty of this is that you can teach it really quickly and simply. I mean, I teach it to people in 15 hours, and they're going out and giving readings and making money.
That's amazing. All right, well, stay with us, Shadone. We're going to come back in a moment and take phone calls. And again, folks, I need your first name, a middle initial, and the initial of your last name for her to do a little more complete little report on who you are, and her website linked up at coasttocoastam.com, knowthename.com. I like that, by the way, knowthename.com.